the third part of Bhagavad Gita begins from the 13th chapter. Of these chapters, the first three chapters, it is 13th, 14th and 15th chapters, Bhagavan presents the topic of self-knowledge. Bhagavan discussed mainly the topic of self-knowledge in those three chapters. Because self-knowledge is the only means of attainment of moksha. Therefore, Bhagavan mainly discussed self-knowledge. That is knowledge of Bhagavan, Ishvara. Knowledge of Ishvara obtaining as Ishvara who is there as our own Swarupa. So having discussed the Atma Jnanam in those three chapters, 13th, 14th and the 15th mainly, then later on, 16th and 17th, in these chapters, Bhagavan wants to teach something important. Everything is important. What is something important Bhagavan wants to teach? Because if Atma Jnanam is the only means of attainment of moksha, so we understand how important Atma Jnanam is for our moksha. We first of all, we are very clear how moksha is very important for us, because moksha is not something to be attained. Moksha is the happiness which we've been desperately searching for. And that moksha happiness is only in discovering Bhagavan, obtaining as our own Swarupam. Therefore, Bhagavan emphatically discussed the topic of Atma Jnanam in those first three, 13th, 14th and 15th chapters. But now, for that jnanam, if we have to attain such a valuable, the most valuable liberating jnanam, it is important for us to live following a lifestyle also. Unless it is not enough if I simply say, I want moksha, I understand what moksha is, I want jnanam. No. If a jnanam becomes the ultimate goal, our lifestyle must change, our attitude must change, the whole behavior must change, my life must be completely governed by dharma. Therefore, it's very important, unless I change my lifestyle, unless I change my persona, there's no way of going near Bhagavan's jnanam. Therefore, Bhagavan's very important. That is what Bhagavan, the important topic Bhagavan discusses in these two chapters, 16th and 17th, is that how one must make all possible efforts to understand how one's lifestyle should be in order not to miss that precious wisdom in terms of self-knowledge. Okay, because Bhagavan is always there. Truth is always there. You are the truth. If you are the truth, always truth is there in your own mind, then why are you deprived of that knowledge? Why are you deprived? It is because you are not ready. And that what prevents me from being ready to receive, to just take ownership of what I am already, that is my lifestyle. That is my behavior. That's my lack of preparation. Therefore, Bhagavan focuses on emphasizing the teaching of how one's lifestyle must be in order not to miss the precious knowledge, not to ward off all the obstacles in getting that wonderful wisdom. See, our Veda Shastram and also Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita teaches only what Veda teaches. Our Veda Shastram very 100% assertively states that a human being's lifestyle, the way a person lives his life, is tremendously influential. The way a person lives his life, the lifestyle a person follows, is tremendously influential. Influential in what? Influential in our ability. Okay, the lifestyle a person lives, the way of life the person follows is tremendously influential in our ability to grasping the teaching and enjoying the benefit of the teaching. And also, it's not simply grasping the teaching, in retaining the teaching, in ascertaining, assimilating the teaching, thereby enjoying the benefit of the teaching. Okay. Our behavior, our way of life is highly influential. Therefore, Bhagavan focuses on this in these two chapters on the important topic of our lifestyle. How we should live our lives. So, there is a specific lifestyle, specific way of life, which is said to be the Vedasha, the lifestyle enjoined by the Veda. And this lifestyle enjoined by the Veda is the knowledge-friendly life, moksha-friendly life, dharma-friendly life. Therefore, whatever we study in this world, we may become highly academically qualified, going to the best of universities, studying with the best of professors. We can also be highly proficient subject matter. We can learn all material sciences, whatever it is. Now hundreds of courses are offered. So many names, new courses. I'm not even aware of those new courses. So many courses are offered. All that we can go and study. We can have long list of degrees, tail of degrees also. But I tell you, no knowledge in the world can help a person understand the value of dharma. Can make a person understand the moksha being the ultimate goal. And nothing in the world can really remove the ignorance, which is the cause of the samsara. That is why the knowledge of anything within the realm of matter is ignorance. That cannot remove that will retain a person's self-ignorance always. Physics knowledge alone will remove the physics ignorance. Chemistry knowledge will remove the chemistry ignorance. Mathematics knowledge will remove the mathematics ignorance. So any amount of qualifications a person has, any amount of knowledge a person has of material sciences, that will not remove the ignorance of the self, the spirit. The spiritual ignorance can be resolved only by spiritual knowledge. So English language knowledge will not resolve your Tamil ignorance or any other language ignorance. So spiritual ignorance can be resolved only by spiritual knowledge, not by the knowledge of material sciences. And of course, you know, the spiritual wisdom, the spiritual knowledge, always said to be knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the self, is very important. And our lifestyle plays an important role in the attainment of the spiritual wisdom. And this is the fact. It's a non-refutable fact. Therefore, it is a non-ignorable. It should not be ignored. This fact should not be ignored. You must pay attention to this fact. Therefore, the way, how one should live one's life, the Vedic way of life, Veda enjoined life, is actually discussed in the first part of the Veda. Okay, Karma Upasana Kandas tell us how we should live our lives. And why we should live this lifestyle, that we'll understand when we come to Jnana Kanda. So Bhagavan's interest is in making us understand the way of life in these two chapters, 16th and the 17th. So if a person who is unprepared, the unprepared minded, even if he listens to the teaching, he may gather information, but gathered information will not contribute for his transformation, which means he cannot enjoy the benefit of the jnana, which means the very lifestyle must change. Therefore, Bhagavan is emphasizing this teaching. So, the person who does not change his lifestyle, does not change his behavior, change his attitude, does not become refined, even after studying the Shastram, which means he has not taken care of his lifestyle. Such a person will be called what? Before, ignorant rogue continues to be a learned rogue. Okay, educated rogue. No. One can be uneducatedly, also one can be a refined person. But naturally, as far as spirituality is concerned, we're all rogues. We are not adequately prepared. Therefore, if a person has to become really a refined person, then he has to focus on his lifestyle. With this introduction, let us see what Bhagavan says here. Arjuna uvacha ye shastra vidhimutsrujya yajante shraddhayanvitah ye shastra vidhimutsrujya yajante shraddhayanvitah tesham nishthatuka krishna sattvamaho rajastamah. Arjuna uvacha ye shastra vidhimutsrujya yajante shraddhayanvitah ye shastra vidhimutsrujya ye shastra vidhimutsrujya yajante shraddhayanvitah tesham nishthatuka krishna sattvamaho rajastamah. Arjuna uvacha ye shastra vidhimutsrujya yajante shraddhayanvitah tesham nishthatuka krishna sattvamaho rajastamah. Now Bhagavan says, Arjuna, so here this chapter begins with Arjuna's question. Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna said. He says, shastra vidhim utsrujya shraddhaya anvitaha ye yajante tesham nishthatu ka sattvam aho rajaha tamaha. Now, Arjuna addresses Krishna. When Arjuna's question comes, something interesting, we have to pay attention. What is the question he is asking? Krishna is addressing Krishna. Ka nishtha? Tesham nishtha ka? Tesham nishtha ka? Nishtha means here, see the word nishtha is, again in this context, means status. Ka nishtha. What is this status? What is the position? What is the position? What is the status? What is the condition? Of whom? Tesham, of those people. What is the status of those people? Tesham nishtha ka. Which people? Those people. Okay, those people who worship, ye yajante, those people who worship. What is the status of those people who worship? Yajante. But how do they worship? Shraddhaya anvitaha. With the Shraddha. They worship Bhagavan with Shraddha. So what is the status, position, condition of those people who worship with the Shraddha? They don't ignore you, okay? They don't ignore Bhagavan. They do. They take Bhagavan into account. They consider Bhagavan. So they worship Bhagavan with Shraddha. Te yajante. But Krishna, Shastra vidhim utsrujya. Shraddhaya anvitaha. They have faith. Shraddhaya anvitaha. Those people have faith in faith. So they worship. They worship with the faith. But the problem is, Shastra vidhim utsrujya yajante. But they worship what? Shastra vidhim utsrujya. Ignoring utsujya. Ignoring Shastra vidhi. Ignoring the rules of the Shastram. Shastrasya vidhim utsrujya. Shastra vidhim utsrujya. Ignoring, not paying attention to the rules of the Shastram. They worship you with the faith. They worship you with the faith, but they do not follow the rules of the Shastram. So what is the status of those people? Tesham nishtha ka. So what can you, how can you say what the type of bhakti, what type of shraddha is, do they have? What is status of those people? So those people who shraddhaya anvitaha, endowed with great faith, yajante, worship, but shastra vidhim utsujya, but ignoring the rules of the Shastram, they worship you. Therefore Krishna, tesham nishtha ka, what is their status? Sattvam, aho rajaha, tamaha, is asking. Is it sattva? Is their worship sattvic worship? Is it rajasic worship or tamasic? It's sattva, rajas or tamas. Because they have faith. They have 100% faith. They ended with the faith. Shraddhaya anvitaha. They worship. But they only ignore the Shastra's rules. So what is the condition? What is the status of those people? Is it sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? This is Arjuna's question. Now please understand, whenever Arjuna asks a question, his question is definitely based on the teaching. He does not ask any questions outside of the teaching. Then the teacher need not answer also. Okay? Many times people do. They go and read lots of other books. They get confused and they come and ask the questions. They mix with the questions here and ask. So the questions must be based on what is being taught in the class. So Arjuna's question also is definitely based on the teaching. Based especially the teaching given in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That is Daivasra Sampad Vibhaga Yoga, the previous chapter. So Arjuna's question as its basis in the subject matter of the 16th chapter. Because why did he say, Bhagavan said, in doing what one should do, what one should not do, Shastram is the source of knowledge. If a person wants to know what a person should do, what a person should not do, he must only approach Shastram. Shastram is the only source of knowledge. Shastram karya akarya vivasthito shastram pramanam. Arjuna, for you, Shastram is the source of knowledge. Therefore, Shastra vidhana uktam karma jnatva karma kartam iharhasi. Shastra vidhana uktam jnatva. Therefore, understanding what is ordained by the Shastram, knowing strictly the teachings of the Shastram, then you do your duties accordingly. Bhagavan said, therefore Arjuna now is asking this question. So Bhagavan also already said what? If a person has to live, convert himself into a spiritual person or religiously spiritual person, then naturally he must have what? The divine wealth of only a person who lives like a dharma can be said to be a person of divine wealth. Already Bhagavan said that. Therefore, now Arjuna is really worried. If Shastram alone, only if you have to know from Shastram what should be done, what should not be done. Even this fact was told, okay, many years ago. What Arjuna says, and what happened? Now all our Shastrams, we do not know many parts of our Shastram have become extinct, not available in these days. We do not even know what our Shastram has. Second thing, many of our textbooks, many of our Shastra books have become extinct, and many are not available now. Even if some are available, they're all in the, you know, the highly classical. There are highly classical texts, which means even the explanations are available only in the unknown languages like Sanskritam. And there are so many commentaries, we cannot understand what the commentary says. Okay, even if Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary is available, unless it's all unfolded, there's no way of understanding what exactly is being said in the Shastram. Therefore, the doubt is what? Suppose we all have Shraddha, faith in Bhagavan. We all understand. So we do worship Bhagavan with great Shraddha, with great faith, with 100% faith we worship. But we do not know what we are doing is right or wrong, because we do not follow any strictly the rules laid down by the Shastra. Therefore, Arjuna is a little worried. He's asking on behalf of all of us. Because we are all totally novice. We are scripturally novice people, uneducated people. We do not know what Shastram says exactly. Therefore, as we are ignorant of the Shastra teaching, the injunctions of the Shastram, the do's and don'ts of the Shastram, therefore, what is the status of us? We people, we have Shraddha, we worship, but are we doing things correctly as per the Shastra's rules? Therefore, Arjuna asks this question. Shastra vidhim utsrujya, ignoring the Shastra's rules, not knowing, you know, how the puja should be done, how the ritual must be performed, what mantra should be recited. We don't know anything. We simply light the lamp, we pray. Therefore, what is the appropriate way? What is the appropriate method? What is the correct method? We do not even know. Okay. Not that we do not want to follow, but we do not know, because we do not know what Shastram says. So helplessly we do not follow the rules laid down by the Shastram. Therefore, Arjuna has this doubt. Whether when we light the lamp, we do pujas, we set the altar, we do some chant, some slokas, we do on our own something. But are we doing correctly? Always doubt comes. And if we do whatever we know, based on whatever we know, not knowing exactly what Shastra says, thereby we ignore what Shastra's injunctions. What is right according to Shastra, we do not know. Therefore, such people, what is the status of such people who have great Shraddha, they worship with the great Shraddha, but who do not follow Shastra's instructions? Is it Sattva or Raj? It is Sattvic, Rajasic or Tamasic? They Shraddha, okay? So the word Nishtha indicates what? What is their Shraddha? What is the status of their Shraddha? Ka Nishtha means what is the status of their Shraddha? Is it Sattvic Shraddha, Rajasic Shraddha or Tamasic Shraddha? Arjuna's question is what? Whether it is Sattvic, Rajasic or Tamasic Shraddha. That's what Arjuna asks. Therefore, Arjuna begins his question. The 17th chapter begins with Arjuna's question. Question related to Shraddha. Arjuna's, the first verse of the 17th chapter begins with Arjuna's question regarding Shraddha. And this chapter itself is known as what? Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga. Now you can understand why this chapter is called Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga. The 17th chapter begins with Arjuna's question regarding Shraddha. Whether the Shraddha of those people, the faith of those people who worship faithfully with great Shraddha, but they do not follow instructions of Shastra. What is their Shraddha? Is it Sattvic, Rajasic or Tamasic? Okay. And Bhagavan gives an answer. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Trividha Bhavati Shraddha. Dehinam saswabhavaja trividha bhavati shraddha dehinam saswabhavaja satviki rajasi chaiva tamasi cheti tam shrunu satviki rajasi chaiva tamasi cheti tam shrunu Trividha bhavati shraddha dehinam saswabhavaja satviki rajasi chaiva tamasi cheti tam shrunu. So Bhagavan says this. Now we can go faster. Sorry, I had to take some time to introduce the chapter. Bhagavan uvacha, Bhagavan said. He says, Dehinam Shraddha, Dehinam Shraddha Trivida Bhavati, Swabhavaja Shraddha, Sa Swabhavaja Shraddha, Dehinam Swabhavaja Sa Shraddha Trivida Bhavati. Now Bhagavan himself says, yes Arjuna, listen. That Shraddha, Sa Shraddha, Dehinam Shraddha, means the fate of all human beings. Okay. The fate of all human beings people who have faith and the fate of all human beings. Okay. Swabhavaja. Swabhavaja. Born of one's own nature. The fate of all human beings is born of one's own nature. Swabhavaja Shraddha. And that Shraddha is threefold, Trividha. That Shraddha of all human beings, born of one's own nature, is threefold. Sa dehinam swabhavaja, sa dehinam swabhavaja shraddha trividha is threefold. What are they? Satviki shraddha, rajasi shraddha, and tamasi shraddha cha iti. Threefold in terms of sattvic, rajasic and tamasic shraddha. Tamshrunu, Arjuna, may you hear more about that shraddha. So Bhagavan introduces the three shraddha, the threefold shraddha. So the thing is, see, but in the spirituality, we can never give binary answer. People come and ask, what is consciousness? Okay, we can't give one word answer. What is Ishvara? You can't just give one word answer. Binary answers cannot be given. They need, there's a systematically, the subject matter has to be unfolded to make a person understand the answer for his question. So Bhagavan Krishna also, now Arjuna asks, okay, what is the status of Shraddha? What Shraddha is it of those people? So Bhagavan also now implies the same. It is not possible for Bhagavan to give him binary answer or one word answer. So he says, yes, the Shraddha of people is threefold. Sattvic Shraddha, Rajasic Shraddha and Tamasic Shraddha. It's not simply just saying only this much. So whoever has any Shraddha and the person who performs any puja with Shraddha, and if the puja is also, puja is based on scriptural injunctions, definitely it is what? Sattvic. Sattvic puja. It is the because the Shastram guides a person towards the predominance of sattva. So definitely Bhagavan means that any action governed by the teaching of the Shastram is sattvic. It will make a person slowly a predominantly a sattvic person. This is how we must take it. So Bhagavan says here, if the Shastra teaching does not determine it is going to be then what? One's own is going to be it must be the born of one's own nature. One's own character alone, if Shastram does not determine the worship or any action, then one's own nature must determine one's action in terms of puja also. See, all our activities, including puja, all our activities can be either governed by the Shastra teaching or it can be governed by one's own nature. One's own neighbor, one's own personal likes and dislikes, or one's own inclinations, one's own vasanas. This is only possibility. Please understand, okay? Any action, including puja, whatever a person done, the only possibility is what? Either the actions, the puja, etc., are governed by Shastra's injunctions, Shastra teaching, or governed by one's own inclinations, one's own personal likes and dislikes, one's own nature. There's no third possibility. Okay, there are only two possibilities. Either Shastra governed actions and worship, or one's own nature governed actions and worship. There are only two possibilities. Either Shastra governed action or one's own nature governed, one's own inclination, one's own vasana governed actions. If a person's actions are not governed by the Shastra, then naturally what? They must be governed by one's own nature. Swabhavaja Shraddha. Bhagavan says, okay? It's all very subtle teaching. And that Shraddha is threefold. Sattviki, Rajasi, Tamasi. So the person who worships with Shraddha is ignorant of Shastra teaching. Therefore, whatever the attitude the person has, okay, whatever puja he does, whatever worship he performs, depending upon the attitude he has, depending upon the motive behind the action or the worship, okay, everything is based on one's own nature, and which is one's own inclinations. And also it depends upon also one's own the inclinations, the janmantara samskara, the vasana one has picked up from one's own previous lives also. This is also there. And second thing, what should be the nature of the devotee? What should be or what will be the nature of the devotee? What will be the character of a devotee? Okay, the person, the action is not governed by the Shastram. Then definitely the action is governed by one's own nature, one's own character. So what is the character of the person? What is the nature of the person? That must be the question. That question comes, Bhagavan says, the nature, the swabhava of the person, the bhakta, the swabhava of the devotee, okay, will not be, the swabhava of the human being will not be the same swabhava of all the human beings. The nature, the character, the swabhava of human beings differ from person to person, differs from individual to individual. Therefore, it is not possible to say all the actions of all the people performed based on the nature uniformly sattvic. Therefore, all the people are all not of the same nature, same behavior, same nature and character. Therefore, all the people who do not have Shraddha but who do not have Shastra knowledge, people are of different, predominantly tamasic, predominantly rajasic, predominantly sattvic. So the nature, swabhava of people differs. The swabhava of people differ from person to person. Accordingly, their actions based on the swabhava also must be different, must differ from person to person. Therefore, he says, therefore Bhagavan says, all the human beings are of threefold natures. Human being, the character of human beings is threefold. Okay? The sattvikaha, there are people who are of sattvika subhavaha. There are people who are rajasa subhavaha, and people who are sattvika tamasa subhavaha. The people of sattvic nature, rajasic nature, and tamasic nature. Therefore, as the nature, swabhava of the people, nature of the people is threefold. as the character of the people is threefold, so also the swabhava based faith, the faith of human beings based on their swabhava, based on their nature character, also will be threefold. Okay, the people are of threefold natures, therefore their actions and worship, etc., based on their threefold nature are also of threefold. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Arjuna, Shraddha Trividha Bhavati. Faith is of three types, Satviki, Rajasi, and Tamasi. Now, Bhagavan is going to explain later on what is and who is a Satvik person, who is a Rajasic person, who is of Tamasic nature. Accordingly, his actions will be also what? Satvik, Rajasic and Tamasic actions. So Bhagavan first explained, Bhagavan is going to explain now, first of all, who is a person of Satvik nature. Then Bhagavan will explain what is Satvik faith. Then Bhagavan will again say who is a person of Rajasic nature, and then he'll explain what is Rajasic faith. Then Bhagavan will teach who is a person of Tamasic nature, then he'll explain what is the Tamasic Shraddha, Tamasic faith. This is how he's going to answer. For Bhagavan says, Tam Shruno, Arjuna, please do listen to what I'm going to teach. Okay. Now, is it clear? Have you got it? Okay. That is very clear, isn't it? They're either all our actions, whatever we do, must be governed by other Shastra teaching. We do not know Shastra teaching. So based on what? Our own nature. So our own nature means, what is our nature? All people are of different natures, Sattvic, Tamasic, Rajasic natures. So based on our nature, our actions also are going to be Sattvic, Tamasic and Rajasic. Therefore, first he's going to explain to us who is the person of Sattvic nature. Then he'll explain what is Sattvic Shraddha. Okay, he'll explain that. Who is the person of Rajasic nature and what is Rajasic Shraddha? Who is a person of Tamasic nature and what is Tamasic Shraddha? He is going to explain in the following verses. Are you all there? Be nice for some of you to show your faces. Okay. Sattvanurupa sarvasya. The introduction took very long. It's okay. We will be going fast. Very interesting and important chapter. We'll see again. Sattvanurupa sarvasya. Shraddha bhavati bharata. I'll stop with this verse. Sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata. Shraddha mayoyam purushaha. Shraddha mayoyam purushaha. Yo yachchaddhasa evasaha. Sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata. Sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata. Shraddha mayoyam purushaha yo yachchaddhasa evasaha. Shraddha mayoyam purushaha yo yachchaddhasa evasaha. Sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata. Shraddha mayoyam purushaha yo yachchaddhasa evasaha. So here Bhagavan says, hey Bharata, Arjuna, sarvasya shraddha sattva anurupa. So Shraddha is a feminine gender word. So Bhagavan says, Sarvasya Shraddha means what? The Shraddha of every individual being. The faith of everyone, sarvasya shraddha, fate of every individual being, every human being, everyone, is according to one's temperament. Sattva, the word sattva, he does not mean sattva guna, sattva anurupa, in matching with, in conformity with one's temperament. Sattvam here means temperament. So the fate of every individual human being is in conformity with one's temperament, according to one's temperament. Sarvasya shraddha sattva anurupa bhavati. The fate of everyone is in conformity with one's temperament, according to one's temperament. Ayam purushaha shraddhamayaha means a person who has shraddha. Shraddhamayaha means who is endowed with shraddha, who has shraddha. Shraddhamayaha purushaha, ayam purushaha shraddhamayaha. I am shraddhamayaha purushaha means the person having faith, a person endowed with the faith, or a person consists of the faith, a person endowed with the faith, shraddhamayaha purushaha. So a person consists of his faith. Yaha yat shraddha saha sayeva saha. Yaha yachaddaha sa eva saha. That person is in fact verily what his shraddha is. The person is verily what his shraddha is. The person is what his shraddha is, because a person consists of his faith. Ayam shraddhamayaha purushaha means what? Ayam purushaha shraddhamayaha means this person, a person consists of faith. Therefore, he is verily what his faith is, what his shraddha is. Yaha yachaddaha, whatever is the faith of the person, that person is that faith. Okay. The faith is that person. That person is what his faith is. Okay. Your faith of the person is sattvic faith. Sattviki shraddha. He is a sattvic person. The person shraddha is rajasic shraddha. He is a rajasic person. So, that person is verily what his shraddha is, what his faith is. Why? Because a person consists of his faith. I am shraddhamayaha purushaha. A person consists of his faith. Therefore, yaha yachaddaha. Yaha yachaddaha means what? Whoever has any shraddha. Yaha yachaddaha, whoever has any shraddha, saha yeva saha. Okay, the person of the shraddha, okay, he is verily that shraddha, what his shraddha is. Because shraddha is in conformity with one's own temperament. This is the literal meaning of the verse, okay. Sarvasya shraddha sattva anurupa bhavati. Now understand, all human beings, all devotees have shraddha in worship. Okay? And all of us have shraddha. And this shraddha definitely is not what now? Not determined by the shastra narachya. The shraddha is basically is of one's own, based on one's own nature. And here, therefore, what happens? The faith of every human being is according to one's own temperament. And every person consists of his own faith. And whatever Shraddha a person has, and he is what his faith is. The person is verily what his faith is. Sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata shraddha mayoyam purushaha yo yachchaddhasa evasaha. I'm going to stop the class now. I need to explain this first verse, the second verse, okay? It's a very interesting chapter, so don't miss this. And because even the verse which I read, I only given the literal meaning. I have not explained yet. It must be clear now, isn't it? Any questions? Initially, I did repeat a bit. I know I must have, you are used to my boring repetition anyway. It's okay. Any questions? No questions. Okay. At least you can be relieved now. We are all novice, okay? Novice people. We do not have any Shastra Jnana. But still we all have Shraddha. Still, based on a temperament, we can understand what a Shraddha is all about. Because we do not have the Karmakanda Jnanam. That's what he means. Without having Karmakanda Jnanam also, still we can be people of sattvic nature, sattvic action, sattvic worship. Still we can accomplish what we need to accomplish in life. So we don't need to have all Karmakanda Jnanam. We're going to understand that. No questions? Okay. This verse, last verse which I said, I'll explain again. I need to explain, then I can go ahead fast next class. Because introduction needs always little time. So I'll continue in the next class. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.